Hey, smokers, want some advice you can't use? Watch Bill Plimpton's cartoon, 25 Ways to Stop Smoking. For instance, suggestion number 2 is remove the orifice of entry. And Plimpton has his character removing his mouth. Plimpton has a couple of cartoons that are sick twists on advice manuals. You can see his latest work in this year's festival, The Tournée of Animation, and on MTV. Plimpton is a self-taught animator. He drew political and gag cartoons before he turned to animation. I asked him if he thought the emphasis at animation festivals was on the kind of work he doesn't do, high-tech computer animation.
Well, frankly, I think 2 or 3 years ago it was, but now I think people are starting to go back to the more original styles of animation. Even some very crude animation, I think, are really, really successful now. And there is sort of a divergence, rather a splitting up of styles. And there's the Seagraph shows where everybody goes to see computer animation. And then I think more along the lines of the Tournée of Animation is really going back to old-time animation. And so I do think that people are starting to split up on their tastes.
Do you think that there was that people missed that low-tech animation?
Yes,
after a while?
I do, especially after seeing a lot of stuff like, on TV, all the commercials and everything is so expensive and so highly polished with highlights and airbrushed detailed backgrounds and shadows and stuff. And some of the cruder, the more emotional animation is missing. It just seems like the stuff you see on TV is so cold and mechanical. And so that's why I think the Tournée is so good, is it really has a lot of different styles that are real personal styles. So just back to simple pencil and paper kind of stuff, you know, and it's really vital and alive and fast-moving. And that's what I think is so refreshing about the show.
Well, your contribution in the Tournée of Animation is your Plimtoons, which also show on MTV.
Right.
They're very short. They're basically each a few seconds long.
Yeah, 10 seconds to 12 seconds.
Describe what you're doing.
Well, what it is, I started out my career being a gag cartoonist with a lot of, especially men's magazines, since they paid a lot of money and they were happy to have cartoons. And I built up a whole catalog of gags, you know, like files of 200, 300 gags. And I found that when I couldn't sell them to magazines, now that I'm doing animation, those gags are great and little animated shorts. So basically they're silent, visual, surreal puns. Or not puns, but just surreal gags. And they go over really well with the audience. It's like eating candy, just like one gag after the next, and they just people start laughing and they can't stop.
Yeah, one of those gags that I especially like is exercise helps your pores breathe.
Yeah,
and then you see the pores of the face widening and expanding, and it's quite grotesque.
Well, it's the purpose of an animator or any sort of artist to exaggerate truth. And I was shaving one day, and I was looking at my little pores, and I said, gee, that one's kind of big. And I just wondered what would happen if the pore kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I just said, hey, why not just do a whole guy's face with giant pores? And it looks like he's Swiss cheese. It has a nice effect.
Mm-hmm. Do you usually go through this when you look at yourself in the mirror?
No, not every morning. Sometimes I'm afraid to look at myself.
Well, I was wondering, because you have a self-portrait in the Tournée also that shows your... You reposition your eyes and your nose and your mouth, all the features of your face, and then the head comes off altogether and gets twisted onto its side.
Yeah.
It's quite a self-image to have.
Well, that's one of the beauties of animation is there's practically no limit of what you can show, what you can draw, and it's certainly something that's very hard to do in live action. And so I just have a lot of fun playing around with the surrealism of the face. If you do it wrong, it can be very violent and kind of sick. But I do it with a sense of humor, and it's something that people you never really see. I mean, you don't see someone pulling their nose off and putting it down by their chin. It's a unique sight.
Now, you started off doing, you said gag cartoons for men's magazines, but you also went through a period of doing political cartoons.
Well, I've been doing political cartoons for about 20 years, I think. I started in 75, well, not 20 years, more like 15. Started in 74, 75, and I was published in about 20 papers around the country. But, you know, I never really took off on political cartoons. It never really got popular. And I think the problem was that I wasn't good with words, and I really prefer just visual images. And I think the animation is perfect for just purely visual images. And therefore, the animation just really was very popular, and I quit doing the strip, I think, right about the time Reagan left office and George Bush came in. People got bored with George Bush, so I did too.
Well, I want to ask you about another one of your cartoons. And this one is called How to Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a narrator on there who's basically reading an absurdist self-help text
on how to kiss. Right.
The French kiss, or soul kiss, is one of the more playful forms of romantic expression. It's a walk on the wild side of love. This bold kiss is initiated when the man sneaks his tongue into the woman's mouth, then teases and caresses her tongue. The female then reciprocates, and thus begins a delicate, playful tennis match of the mouth that many couples find exhilarating.
Would you describe what's happening visually?
Sure. As he's kissing her, obviously he sticks his tongue into her mouth, and the bulge is quite prominent. And then the bulge starts moving around back and forth to each other's mouth. And then it just starts moving around their body, underneath their clothes, through their neck, up on top of their head, out of their ears. And it's just basically the same thing. It's taking a funny premise and exaggerating it to almost absurd proportions.
Your cartoons tend to vibrate?
Yeah.
And by that I mean the images mm-hmm. pulse.
Yeah, they're very vibrant, and I like that. It's a trick that's used a lot. In fact, the Tracy Ullman credits are the same way. What mm-hmm. they do is they take two drawings of the same image and shoot them, say, one or two frames of film for each, and they alternate the drawings every two or three frames of film, and little mistakes in the drawing or mistakes in the type will vibrate, and it gives it a nice vitality and a nice sort of feeling of life that I like.
How did you learn about doing that?
Just other animation. People have been using that trick for years, and it's very un-Disney or un-Warner Brothers. It's kind of, like I say, low-tech, but it has a nice feel to it.
Well, another thing that you do that I think is very un-Disney and un-Warner Brothers is that you use very muted colors, almost pastel, and mm-hmm. you can see the shading. It almost looks crayonish.
Yeah, I love what you can do with colored pencil, which is basically what I use. You can get into the detail. You can make a surface look round. As you know, airbrush is very expensive. The Roger Rabbit film was like $40 million to make, and with pencil, you can get that same sort of tone and shading without using an airbrush, and it has a nice human feel to it too that I like.
The kind of man and woman that illustrate some of your cartoons, you know, mm-hmm. they seem to come out of another era.
Yeah, it's a character that I've sort of, people have asked me where I got that one character. And
the guy?
Yeah, the guy. And the closest I can think of is Bud Abbott. He's sort of a sleazeball kind of normal person. And I think that works really well because it's when bizarre things happen to him, it's funny. Now, if I took a character that was really funny to begin with, like with a big nose or buck teeth or goofy hair, it wouldn't be as funny because the character is already funny. So I like to take a real sort of normal character and have funny things happen to him, and that's where the humor arrives from.
Now, just to clarify, Bud Abbott was the tall, thin one in Abbott
right.
and Costello. How did you start getting your cartoon shown?
The trick to that is to send it to film festivals. There must be hundreds of animated film festivals around the world. And send them to these festivals, and all the distributors are there. And if your film is any good, has any merit to it, the distributors will buy it on the spot there and give you tons of cash, and you'll be rich and famous for the rest of your life.
Do they really pay okay?
Not bad. It depends on how good you are at negotiating or how strong your film is. Fortunately, my films do very well with the public, and there's many markets for my films. I'm surprised to learn that there are very few. In fact, I can't think of any other filmmakers who are making a living doing short films. But I'm able to do it because I'm able to reach a lot of different markets. Besides a tournée of animation, there's TV with MTV, and there's HBO, Cinemax, PBS, places like that. Then there's a lot of schools and libraries that buy these films, universities, art museums. And I find another huge market is corporations. IBM buys a lot of my films for boring conferences, and people get tired and sleepy, and they'll pop on a funny film, and people wake up, and they're all ready to go another 2 or 3 hours. So I think the market is quite good for animation now. It's a wonderful time to be doing animation. Another great, great... program that has really helped animation tremendously is The Simpsons. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said, we want you to do a Simpson-type show. And I just think that The Simpsons is showing producers and advertisers that there is a wonderful market for animation for adults, which I think is why the tournée is so good, is that this is animation not for kids, although kids can enjoy it, but it's for adults, people who want to see things they haven't seen before and see different worlds. It's like going to an art museum and seeing the paintings move, and I think it's a unique sight.
And you think before The Simpsons that networks didn't believe that?
Oh, no, they thought you were
adults
crazy.
Adults would be interested.
Yeah, they said, go to Saturday morning, do some serial cartoons, and leave us alone. And now they're all scrambling to get another Simpsons on the air.
Bill Plimpton, thanks a lot for talking
with
us.
Oh, it was a lot of fun for me.
Animator Bill Plimpton. You can see his Plimtoons on MTV and in this year's Tournée of Animation. The tournée opens in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles this week and comes to 51 other cities over the next few months.